Shelley Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelley.
June 17, 2022. Let's see about my microphone there. There we go. Allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. Anyway, it's Friday night, and last Friday, there was a bit of a discussion, and we didn't get a debate that we thought we were going to get, because the previous Friday, Glenn Beicklin was in the chat room and objected to a couple of things that BP was saying, I guess. And I really don't even have the full lay of the land of what happened there, but we're going to have the discussion tonight. We're also going to do the phone calls and all that good stuff as per usual, if time permits. And the Age of Transitions will go live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Just for the record, I've had a fever off and on all day, so I'm a mess. But what the hell, we're going to do this anyway. Anyhow, my co-host for Friday nights is B. Pete, and I guess I'll check in with him first. How you doing, man?
Oh, doing good. Oh, glad to see another Friday roll around.
Yeah,
kind of hectic week.
Kind of came quick, and then we did a call-in show last night, kind of on the fly, and it was definitely typical of the Friday night shows, where you never know what the hell will be brought up. I mean, some serious subjects, and then oh, geez, what is this now? All right, I'm gonna take us off air. I'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com.
Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
So we're back to live, and a little technical glitch there, but now it's okay. Okay. Anyway, as I was explaining 2 weeks ago, there was a discussion about gasoline, which I thought wouldn't be something that would cause friction, but anyway, apparently it did. I don't know the details of all of what the friction was, but I guess Glenn took objection to some stuff that BP was saying on the air, and then it was kind of late in the show, and I didn't think it was appropriate to bring him on to argue because we only had like, 15 minutes left or something. So I said, well, look, we'll do it next week, and then little miscommunication, and we didn't get the debate the following week, so now here we are. And I did check in and see how BP was doing, and then all of a sudden the hold music started playing, so, fun. Anyways, BP, let me put you aside for a minute and ask, Glenn, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. I have a little bit of a pollen allergy, so I might sound a bit... I don't know. Bad, I guess. But it's nothing bad as far as I'm concerned. I'm just sneezing a lot right now.
Ah, well, so far you sound like you. It doesn't sound unusual. And I probably don't sound like I'm sitting here vacillating between sweating and shivering, but I am. So, you know, never know how it sounds as opposed to how you feel. Anyways, so I guess I should begin with Glenn because he was the one who had an objection. I don't know what happened exactly, so why don't you tell us what the problem was with what BP was saying, and you can address it with him right here live, and you guys can have the conversation. Although I am going to reserve the right to interrupt because I don't want you guys talking over each other or really just straight up arguing. I'd like a polite conversation back and forth where at least everybody allows the other one to respond. And we will be taking calls at some point. I'll give out the number, but not right now because I'm not going to pop down the phone lines right now. So, anyways, so Glenn, what was the thing that you objected to that caught your ear when BP was talking
on
there?
Well, actually, I will need Pete to actually repeat exactly what he stated back then, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wait, really? You need me to repeat it? And yet you took that opportunity to start trashing me in the room while I was on the air? before we get into this discussion, and I repeat what it was I said, this discussion tonight can go a lot of different directions. But the first thing we're going to start with is where you felt like you could just get off and start riding me in the room for making a simple comment about a comparison between a European system and an American system. I mean, you went so off on me. I'd like to.
So, I thought I told Chuck that I didn't want this to turn out to become a pissing contest.
Yeah,
well, then explain yourself from 2 weeks ago as to why. I mean, I thought up to that
because I can't remember exactly how you stated things.
Okay, so okay. Everybody stop for a second. Prices. Everybody stop for a second. Let me try this. What the basic premise, I think, was is that, you know, BP was talking about how, you know, I said, look, when you compare the price of gas in Europe to the price of gas in America, it's a bit off. And my premise was that, you know, first of all, you're dealing with liters as opposed to gallons. And then you have to factor that in along with the exchange rate. And we discussed this again last night, by the way, because there is the idea that all the taxes and everything that come into play in Europe are different than they are here. And therefore, I don't know, it's like for the consumer, you're paying more for a gallon of gas in Europe. I mean, I think that's undisputable. It may be due to the taxes.
In many countries, we pay twice.
Right. And the thing is, we were talking about it last night and almost adding it up and saying, well, gee, it seems like the amount of tax that's paid on a gallon of gas in Europe is equivalent to what it is we pay altogether for a gallon here. But then you actually have to pay for the gas after the taxes. And we have a tax system here where I said, you know, it's anywhere between 30-something cents and 70-something cents on the gallon, which is very low as compared to what it is in Europe, where we were figuring out could be around $4 on the gallon. And I don't know that those estimates are exactly correct, but I think they're generally correct. And that seemed to be the premise where things jumped off from there. And I guess BP took offense, and I didn't even watch the chat, by the way, and haven't even rolled it back. But I guess BP took offense because you were sort of bashing him about it. And I don't know what happened from there. What was the problem exactly with what he was saying if he was making that sort of comparison, I guess is the opening question to you, Glenn.
Well, see, I don't recall exactly what he said about it. But you're absolutely right. The basic difference between Europe and U.S. is that we have a lot more taxes to the gas price, and that's the main part of the difference between the U.S. prices and the prices that we have over here in Europe. And in Sweden in particular, last comes above environmental taxes and all kind of smaller part taxes, we have the VAT, which is not only a tax on the gasoline, but it's also a tax on the taxes previously added to the gas price. And that makes up for all of the difference between the U.S. prices and Europe prices.
Mm. Well, right. I mean, even when I pay a European company to do something, I always have to pay the value added tax, the VAT, afterwards. It's another thing added on to everything else. That's just the system the way it is. And here we have the environmental taxes and all that, by the way. As I said, when I worked in New Jersey, it was 32.9 cents altogether. But that involved, you know, like, say, 6.3 cents and 3.6 cents given to the federal government for EPA tax or spill tax. Yeah. One of them is called a spill tax, believe it or not. And they add them together. And that's, again, why I stated that you see 9/10 of a penny on U.S. Gasoline signs. It's because two federal taxes come together to make 9/10 of a penny. And that's passed along, as it would be in Europe. Okay, so any tax added to the fuel would be passed along. I mean, same principle with any product. Like Pete and I have talked about cigarettes, where, you know, frankly, even today, a pack of cigarettes, really, cost-wise, even to allow a profit, would only be about $2 in the U.S. But by the time you add the state taxes, federal taxes, additional penalties which are applied to the tobacco companies. You know, you got $12 packs of cigarettes in some places. Five, six, eight, it depends. Every state is a little different because the state tax comes into play. So, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, to the consumer, it's irrelevant as to where it really comes from because at the end of the day, you're paying for it all anyway. But it is the factor that changes what it costs. And again, when you got to add up your liters to make a gallon, well, okay, you may see the cost per liter being one way. You got to do that math in order to understand the difference, I think.
But go ahead. We talked about that
right
last time, Chuck. And I explained that, and you're absolutely correct. I can't remember exactly how BP phrased the argument last time around.
Okay. So, BP...
And that's why I wonder exactly what it is that you said, BP.
Okay, so, BP, do you recall what it was you said that kind of set Glenn off in the chat room? Do you know what it was?
Yeah, I typed in the chat room. I said that comparing gas prices to Europe and the United States is a bullshit comparison. Mm. Typed it right in a room, and that's when he went off. He wanted me to sit down and give the whole economic history of why we are where we are today. Quit interrupting me.
Let him get it out, Glenn, because I'm trying
I'm
to listening. Trying to get back to what it was, and I'm trying to establish first what the problem was, so you couldn't remember exactly how he phrased it, so now I'm asking him. So let's get through it. Okay, so you said it was a bullshit comparison. What did you mean by that, by the way?
Right. Because of the systems being totally different on distribution, refining, pipelines, the entire bit between Europe and the United States. We have the ability to put gas at the pump from a refinery right here, from fuel we pumped right here,
right,
compared to the European system where they're getting it from, their sources, their distribution network, their pricing, their taxes, the cost added on for being able to move fuel from one country to another. Two totally different systems set up. That's what I meant by that.
Right. Well,
but
there's
here's
a,
the part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that was
here's,
BP.
Okay, well,
okay.
Let him
okay.
finish. Let him finish.
That's it.
Go ahead, BP.
Here's where the riff making a simple statement like that in the room, and then Glenn going off and hitting me with, I'll have opinions based on no facts. I'm a clown. The personal attacks in the room. I'm here most Friday night.
You're going back
Glenn
to that all the time. And what did you say about me, BP? What did you call me, actually?
I called you a dick because you were acting like a dick. Plain and simple. It's in
exactly.
the room. You can
so you want, and you still
seat.
Want to have this pissing contest. Okay.
No,
I'll
I
give
want
you
to
one
have
more chance. If you keep
you
repeating
quit?
This bullshit, then I'm out of here. You get that?
Goodbye.
Well,
discuss the problem. And if you can let me speak for a second, please. That's the exact answer that I couldn't remember that you said it, the comparison is bullshit. That's what
exactly
fired me up to start with. Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly what it was, because you can
right,
compare
now,
we have exactly the same distribution system over here as you have over there. We are buying
but we
if
don't
you keep interrupting me. I still have not been able to finish what I came here to say before we discuss anything else.
All right, let it,
and that is
yeah.
I keep most weeks you have an opportunity to come on here and discuss any item you want to discuss, from world politics to economics. But what the move you pulled in a room was a cheap shot, and I'd like to know why you felt like you had to take a cheap shot at me when I've done nothing out of the way towards you in this room on the air. What is your problem? I'm done.
Are you done?
There you go.
Are you done?
Yeah, he said he's done, so go ahead and respond.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly, you said it yourself a couple of minutes ago. You told me that it was a bullshit comparison. That's what fired me up. That's where it started, because it's not at all a bullshit comparison. You're talking about different distribution system. Yeah, in Sweden we don't have oil production, obviously. Norway do, and we sometimes import oil and petrol products coming from Norway. And those go, these liters of oil or petrol, whatever it is, goes through the same distribution chain that you're talking about for the U.S. There's no difference in that. It's refineries, it's all of it. So the costs are basically, that's what I was referring to. That's what I was trying to say, but you didn't want to listen to me when I tried to explain that, this. That these costs are not all that. The basic costs from the oil companies and the refineries and all that, those are basically the same for Europe and for the U.S.
Okay, so
and you didn't want to agree to that, if I remember. I have a question
for both of you then, because here's the thing, and this is not honest, objective question. If we're indeed understanding that transportation costs would be higher, okay, based on the fact that the fuel cost is higher in Europe, then automatically you have a different consideration with logistics as far as transportation goes, right? I mean, the second that it costs more to run the gas trucks here in the U.S., the price of fuel goes up. And indeed, for independent contractors and stuff, they even add surcharges when the fuel becomes exorbitantly expensive, and there is a different a set of travel that needs to be taken, right? Because we have racks in certain places that are readily available to areas like where I used to work, where it was very cheap because it was a short distance that this stuff had to travel. Maybe that varies in Europe, and also it's just more expensive because the fuel, as we said, is already more expensive due to all the taxation. So wouldn't that change logistical considerations when it comes to this directly? And again, I'm not entirely familiar with all the distribution in Europe. I do know how it works in the U.S., but it just seems to me as though, based on the fact that you have a different price pressure, they're going to try and run it differently, am I wrong about that?
What was that? Different price? What did you say? Different price?
Well, okay. When you're trying to arrange things logistically for delivery, right? They consider exactly where you can source it from, where it's being stored, and all of this. And if you have a distance of travel, that changes the delivery system a bit because it's not the same when you have a higher cost. They'll turn around and they'll change things.
No. Of course, there are minor differences in distribution lines depending on distance, for example. But I was talking about the distribution line as in production. Those steps are exactly the same in Europe as they are over in the U.S. It doesn't matter that several countries don't have this apparatus. Like here in Sweden, we don't have all that because we don't produce oil, obviously.
Right.
So there's a difference. But the huge difference between Europe and Sweden, perhaps in particular with the U.S., is that our taxes are, we have more different taxes on petrol, and we have higher taxes than the U.S. And that's where the main difference in price, when we're talking about a double price in Europe and in Sweden as compared to the U.S., that's where the main differences are, not from the distribution costs.
Well, okay, another thing is, isn't there slightly different environmental considerations and regulations with production and with storage and hauling? I mean, I doubt that they have exactly the same rules that the U.S. has regarding the EPA, for example, and the different regulations for transporting hazardous material. I think it might be different in the European Union. I don't know if they have more stringent regulations or looser ones, but I'm just thinking there must be a difference, some sort of difference between the two. Wouldn't that be a factor also in affecting distribution, production, and et cetera?
Well, I'm not familiar with all the details in that, of course. There might be some differences. But as far as I know, also in the U.S., oil products are quite heavily sort of... there are lots of regulations to abide by for big oil companies. There's no question about that. And that's the same thing whether the oil comes from Saudi or it comes from Norway over here in Europe as consumption. That's no, you know, they're subject to the same sort of regulations.
Okay.
But they, you're right. They made. I don't know all the details about it, of course. But I don't think the taxes are. And that's the point I was trying to make, as I remember it, when I clashed with BP. That was that he was talking about. This was a bullshit argument, and that's what fired me up, because taxes are the huge difference in between the price levels in the U.S. and in Europe. There's no question about that. And if BP wants me to, I can bring all the numbers in detail, both as far as regulation goes and as far as pricing goes and taxing.
Okay.
Taxes. That's no problem.
All right.
I thought we were discussing this, debating this in general terms. That's all.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to get at here. BP, do you got a response for this?
Response for this. All that he's talking about, this back and forth, people seem to forget. You can scroll back far enough in the chat room and see that there was no discussion about this in the room. It went to personal attacks. So if you guys want to sit here and discuss, you know, the economic aspects of it all, that's fine. I'm still trying to get to how we got to this point.
Okay.
Now, I can tell you right now from personal experience, the environmental permitting involved between different countries to pull oil out of the ground are vastly different and vastly expensive. So there's another big rigmarole that if Glenn wants to get into, we can drag out all the minutia, all of the permits. They're even talking about clean oil now versus dirty oil. You're going to buy it from a country that pollutes the world in what they do, or you're going to buy it from one that's regulated in the United States or one that's regulated in Europe. So, no, it's not uniform across the world. It's not uniform across all distribution networks. Oil coming out of Africa is an environmental nightmare. Parts of Russia have been obliterated from their oil production. Don't tell me it's the same. And that affects the cost. Why do you think Russia's selling, other than the war, why they're pumping so much to China on the black market right now? Because they can get what they want for it, and China's got the money to do it. So if we want to get into that aspect, that's fine.
Okay.
But what I'd like to know is why in the hell I'm sitting here listening to somebody saying they told me all these things in the room and they didn't. It was the personal attack that pissed me off. Now,
no,
if you
want to
go on and talk economics, that's fine. But I don't see where this is getting anywhere. Glenn can sit there and tell you he's got all the tax figures and everything else. Did I not come in the room last night and explain to you exactly what the taxes were, how they added up, and I was dead right on the price. On what they're paying. They're paying the equivalent in tax what we pay for a whole gallon of gas.
Yeah,
so
that's what we discussed.
What is it that
saying,
can tell us about the whole system that's going to affect the price that's, you know, $6 in California now in places? He's the expert. They're the experts running the system. Why is it so screwed up right now? Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, I'm having difficulty understanding what it is we want to accomplish here. I mean, I know you want to get it addressed, why it is that it went to the personal attacks. And I guess, again, I didn't run it back myself. I haven't read it, but I'm trying to right now. Take a look at it. Trying to roll it back.
Yeah, good. Because I can't remember exactly what it's called. But I do remember the bullshit term now when he told me.
Yeah.
And that's what fired me up.
Him off with one word, bullshit. And then he automatically wanted to jump in, and he went, what, almost 2 hours before he decided to call in and get in on the conversation? We could have had it right then and there. We could have settled this thing. I don't know what his problem is, but if he wants to pop off at me, now's your chance. Pop off, Glenn. I'm ready for you. Let's go.
No. I'm done with that.
Okay. Well, all right.
If you want to discuss real economics, I suggested a huge number of things, BP. You're welcome.
Glenn, I'm the one who suggested to Chuck to have you on the show to talk about Sweden joining NATO. It wasn't even in that conversation. What I want to know is what the hell your personal problem is with
me. I'm fine with that subject. He didn't tell me about that.
Quit interrupting me. Damn it. You put in the room,
I've not heard. When I talk to BP, I told him I can discuss any subject that you want to discuss. That's what I told him.
Jesus.
And he got back and said, basically, you said the same thing. And then I gave him, I think, six different suggestions back to discuss.
I copied the suggestions back to you. I look, here we go. Well, all right. What do you want to do here, BP? Because I don't know what it is we're actually accomplishing. It was a good show when I had Glenn on and we talked about stuff, you know, relating to Sweden. And I did ask about, you know, the idea of Sweden joining NATO and all that, because that was in the headlines at the time. That was a couple of weeks ago. And definitely thought that was a good idea to have Glenn on to talk about that. And I think we wound up speaking about some economic things as well. You know, hard for me to remember right this second. But it was, I thought it was a solid discussion. It was on a different night.
But did I understand what BP said correctly? Did he want to discuss more with Sweden and NATO?
Well, no, he suggested that I have you on to do that, which I did. So I think he was the one who suggested it in the first place, and I thought it was a great idea.
I do remember we had a discussion about that before we discussed a little bit of economics at the end.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but did I understand BP correctly just now, that he wanted to discuss more relating to Sweden and NATO? Did I understand that correctly?
BP. Nope. Are you there, man? I'm not hearing you.
Yeah, I'm trying to type in the room. We can talk about that in a little bit. What I'd like to know, what is the longstanding problem you had with me that you announced to the room?
But I've told you. I've just told you about that.
I guess it was just
longstanding
your...
for.
I guess it was just your use of the word bullshit about the argument was the problem.
I swear to God, I think I'm losing my mind.
Well, I know I've got a fever, so I might not be firing on all cylinders here, but I'm not.
Other words, you haven't seen the suggestions that I brought forward to Chuck last week.
Yes, he sent them to me.
Okay. Do you want to discuss them or not?
It's up to you, Glenn. I'm here, I guess, for your entertainment, because I've asked you the same question three times and have yet to get a damn response. Go ahead. Bring up any subject you want. You know, you want to do this like a liberal conservative thing, so bring up some liberal point of view on something and we'll just sit here and bounce it around like a beach ball.
I don't think there's any point, some liberal bullshit or whatever you said.
Oh, God.
What you also put in the room?
I don't really see the point. I told Chuck a few days ago that I'm prepared to discuss any subject with you, and that's fine with me. But I also told him that it should be a serious discussion. And you keep going on about what happened 2 weeks ago in the chat room.
Hold on. Did you not put in your list that you wanted to discuss this, like, from a conservative and a liberal point of view in the list that you sent?
Yeah, that's why I chose those subjects, because I know that we probably have different opinions on them. That's why it should bring something to the listeners, of course.
Wait a minute. Hold time out. You had that in your list, but when I mentioned it a second ago, you just said that was bullshit. That's what I'm saying. There's no point in this.
That was your way of sort of telling it about the liberal BS, basically. I wouldn't have said that. The difference, BP, I respect people who are conservatives. I have no problem with that, as long as they stick to the facts in a discussion, and as long also as they keep being serious about discussions. I have no. I'm doing it on a almost daily basis, by the way. I'm active in politics over here in Sweden. I'm used to discussing people, and some of them doesn't deserve respect. That's true.
With Sweden, yeah.
We do have conservatives over here as well. You know, you're not.
Well,
you're not, that's
weeks
not,
ago, you were 2 weeks ago. You were in the room trashing conservatives because you think I'm one. Forgot about that line, didn't you?
Chuck, I think you should have prepared this a little bit more. I think that's needed because we obviously need to sort out what happened in the chat room 2 weeks ago.
Well, here's the thing: I had
be discussed.
Yeah, I had nothing to prepare it with, and I didn't want to sit and have 8 different discussions about it. Just let the two of you air out whatever the problem was. So that's
I've been trying, but he keeps getting back to what happened 2 weeks ago.
Well, apparently that's what he takes an objection to, is that you made personal attacks against him in the chat room.
Yeah, but he made personal attacks on me as well.
Okay, so it was sorted out. I mean, what can I tell you?
Yeah, I apologize. How about that? I apologize for calling you names, okay?
Okay, how about that, BP? Jeez.
Okay,
you do the
I accept your apology. I'm not apologizing for a damn thing. I stand by what I said then and now.
Okay.
You called me a dick, so, and you stand by that.
You were acting like a dick. Don't be a dick. If I'd had a gun with a stupid sticker,
I'd apologize. You don't want to sort this out. You want to avoid a debate about serious subjects, obviously.
Wait, before we get into a serious discussion, I'd love to have one with you on any topic you choose. But before we get into that, I stand by what I said because of the personal attack that you started on me, and I'm going to defend myself. Like I said, I'm here almost every Friday, and you could discuss anything with me at any time that you want if you want to participate. You know how our Friday nights go. They go in any direction.
I'm ready right now. I've suggested a few subjects, right? So we can start right now. But you don't seem prepared to do that. You don't want to do that.
All right. Do you guys want to take a break and change what's going on here and get into something else? Would you like to do that? BP?
Am I going to get interrupted again?
I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I would love a discussion. I don't know what it is about certain Swedish individuals who feel a need to try to talk over people. But I've given him an opportunity to say whatever he wants to say, and you join in and say what you want to say. But the minute I get to a point, he wants to start interrupting again. What is the point? If you can't have some common damn courtesy, there's no point trying to carry on the discussion. I've given him an opportunity to say whatever he wants.
All right.
But I keep being interrupted, and it pisses me off, Glenn.
Okay, here's what we do. Let's take a little break. Let's calm down. And, yes, Glenn, you do have to let him finish when he's speaking, okay, because you when you break in, it's just the two of you talking over each other, and it's not good. It's not good for the listener. They're not going to get to hear the whole of what either one of you is saying if you do that. Okay, that's the fun of Skype, by the way, is that everybody who can hear what's going on it, they'll hear the two of you interrupting each other, and it'll just be competing noise. So you don't want to do that. You want to allow the other person to finish before you jump in and talk. Okay, that's generally what you want to try and do. Of course, that rule doesn't necessarily apply to me because I'll interrupt and take control of the show if I want to. I was just allowing the two of you to go back and forth, but that didn't solve a lot. Glenn apologized. BP would like to move on to serious subjects. And I think if we take a break and everybody takes a breather, we might be able to do that. So let's try it. Anyway, we'll continue on with the Friday night and take your calls, you listening out there, if you want. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I can call you into the show. BP is with me. Glenn Viklund is with me. We'll see how that develops further in the show. But hopefully we get a little something more accomplished in the next hour and 25 minutes until the Age of Transition starts on Ocelli.com. Stick around.
Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, you know, the Acelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his the stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Every time I've put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Uncle, I'll bet you remember the time when Benjamin Fulford said that the Asian Secret Society was going to dispatch ninjas to take out the Illuminati to change the entire world for the better.
That is never going to happen. That never did.
It never did, did it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of false promises.
It's fools. I can't say more.
We better not say and be polite, but there are no false promises at the Ocelli.com radio network.
That's exactly it. It's truth. The point, right to the point. And this is what I like. Straight to the point.
Ocelli.
Ocelli.com.
Listen now.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
Woke free. A diversified multicultural postmodern deconstruction is politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I've been uplinked and downloaded, I've been inputted and outsourced, I know the upside of downsizing, I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife, a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, bi-coastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I'm new wave, but I'm old school, and my inner child is outward bound. I'm a hot-wired, heat-seeking, warm-hearted, cool customer, voice-activated and biodegradable. I interface with my database is in cyberspace, so I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time, I'm radioactive. Behind the eight ball, ahead of the curve, riding the wave, dodging the bullet, pushing the envelope. I'm on point, on task, on message. oxygen, off drugs. I got no need for coke and speed. I got no urge to binge and purge. I'm in the moment, on the edge, over the top, but under the radar. A high concept, low profile, medium range ballistic missionary. A streetwise smart bomb. A top gun bottom feeder. I wear power ties, I tell power lies, I take power naps, I run victory laps. I'm a totally ongoing Bigfoot slam dunk rainmaker with a proactive outreach. A raging workaholic. A working rageaholic. Out of rehab and in denial. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, and a personal agenda. You can't shut me up, you can't dumb me down. Because I'm tireless and I'm wireless. I'm an alpha male on beta blockers. I'm a non-believer and an overachiever. Laid back but fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. Supersized, long-lasting, high-definition, fast-acting, oven-ready, and built to last. I'm a hands-on, foot-loose, knee-jerk head case. Prematurely post-traumatic, and I have a love child who sends me hate mail. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. A supportive, bonding, nurturing primary caregiver. My output is down, but my income is up. I take a short position on the long bond, and my revenue stream has its own cash flow. I read junk mail, I eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I'm gender-specific, capital-intensive, user-friendly, and lactose intolerant. I like rough sex. I like rough sex. I like tough love. I use the F word in my email, and the software on my hard drive is hardcore, no soft porn. I bought a microwave at a mini mall. I bought a minivan at a megastore. I eat fast food in the slow lane. I'm toll-free, bite-sized, ready to wear, and I come in all sizes. A fully equipped, factory-authorized, hospital-tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, pre-heated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, vacuum-packed, and I have an unlimited broadband capacity. I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cock-locked and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow. I go with the flow. I ride with the tide. I get glide in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, jiving and grooving, wailing and winning. I don't snooze, so I don't lose. I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road.
If you want to play Blind Man, Ochelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Ochelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
All right, this is not the second hour just yet, but we did take a break or two during the first, so we're going to run from now till the end of the show at 10 p.m. Eastern and take your calls, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. During that break, it was kind of decided that Glenn didn't want to continue, so he did not. And that's that. So now we'll just go into regular show mode. It's Friday. So call in. And you can change the topic. You can introduce something brand new in. You can continue on with a discussion that's already been had. Although there wasn't much of a productive discussion here. I tried to go, okay, let's go into the particulars of what the problem was. But it didn't work out so well. Anyways, it is what it is. Let's move forward, right? B. Pete is with me, and as I said, you can be with me, 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli, on Skype, and tell me you want to be added into the call. I will call you into the show. B. Pete, so, I didn't get a weather report from you. I'm sure it's hot, because it's hot everywhere. What are we at, 104, 105 over here? Okay.
And a thunderstorm rolled through while we were having the earlier discussion, which I thought was appropriate. It lasted about 20 minutes. So, yeah, it's the normal thunderstorms in the evening after it bakes you all day. So, and the sauna never quits.
No, it does not. Again, it's more of a sauna just slightly south of you because it is a slightly different temperate area when you go into the very, very tip of the southeast here in the U.S. It's virtually just as hot. Slightly north of me here, but either way, we do have one caller already, so we'll
man
go
with a fan.
No, it's not Jimmy James. Although we've had a lot of discussions about Jimmy James lately and his different fan club branches. He's international now, so yeah.
No, I'm proud of him.
Right, I still haven't seen the Facebook group. Have you seen a Facebook group yet?
No, I haven't been on Facebook much.
Well, me neither.
Here lately.
Well, I'm never on Facebook much, but anyways, so let's get to the caller. And again, you can call in, you the listener, that is 319-527-5016. And so you're on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spent Kent has entered the building. How y'all doing?
Spent Kent.
I had to fire the guy that was saying that for me, so I'm doing it myself now until I hire somebody else. I got a couple of candidates, so.
You do?
There you go. A couple people in mind, but I haven't figured out yet. So.
All right.
Just covering it by myself.
Does that job pay well, or what?
It pays very little, because I'm a broke mofo myself.
Okay.
But
Hey, fair enough.
I it was will just, by
anyways.
So what's going on, man? What's on your mind tonight?
I'm just chilling. I took off tonight just to hang out. I was going to call in, but I was also going to hang out with my friend, but her stepdad's got COVID, and so they're quarantined for a week. So here I am. I've been listening in, you know, decided to call in. I talked to Mrs. O earlier, made sure y'all were doing a show tonight. I haven't been around, obviously.
Okay.
Chuck, you know it's bad when you're the second choice only to COVID.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, and again, by the way, I just want to say, I know I mentioned I have a fever earlier. It's not COVID, I'm sure of that. Just want to let everybody know, but yikes.
I'm going to make a mask.
Yeah. No, because I'm sorry. I keep cutting. Now I'm cutting you off, BP. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mask out.
Mask. I don't have a mask right now. I do have some Ocelli masks, a couple of them left. Ocelli Effect masks. I should take one out, maybe. But I don't know, man.
I carry it with me everywhere I go.
I've got two of them.
Oh, I sent you two of them too, huh?
Yeah, I got two of them. In fact, the one I keep in my dad's van, when I take it out and I need a mask, it's there, you know, and got the other one in here. But, when I go to the doctor's office, we don't have to anymore within the last month, but any doctor's office before, like, a month ago or whatever it was, when they lifted the thing, you know, you had to wear a mask in there, and I wore my Ocelli Effect mask along with the hat. So,
cool. Well, you know, I did too. Going to the eye doctor, which was really stupid because I'm at the eye doctor and I'm fogging everything up because the mask, you know, it fogs up your glasses anyway. But it's like I'm fogging up the little appliances they're putting on my head. I'm like, listen, man, I don't know what to tell you except we got to keep wiping the lenses off. And finally, the eye doctor's like, you just pull that down a little, all right? But, you know.
It will fog up your glasses. But, I mean, I stopped wearing my glasses into the doctor's. So I go to the foot doctor a lot because I got my foot problem. So, you know, I'm in there every couple of weeks, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to wear my glasses when I got to wear this stupid mask. But now we don't have to anymore. So the last time I was in there, I actually wore my glasses instead of the mask. There you go.
Well, BP, wait. BB, you wear glasses, don't you?
Yeah, I wear them for reading and that during the day, though.
No, I didn't know because I'm thinking to myself. I know I've not many pictures of BP available, but I'm thinking to myself, you must wear glasses sometimes. It's a pain in the neck because from the second that even when I was wearing the bandana, it was like I'm fogging up my glasses, and I don't have those good choices. If I take mine off, I mean, you know. They don't get me.
Most people's don't fit really tight across the bridge of the nose. So, you know, your glasses are sitting there and you're backing up all that breath. It's going to fog them. I mean, there's no way to. You got to vent them.
Yeah.
You got to put your mask, you know, your glasses past the mask edge and it's not as bad.
But it just slips around.
Wearing them and having to.
Yeah, it's just it slips around and everything. And it was such a pain in the neck at the eye doctor because it was just like I'm fogging up his stuff, my stuff. Didn't matter. You know, it's like, yeah, the Ocelli masks actually are kind of tight on the nose. They're not like, you know, uncomfortable.
They do. Like I said, I carry mine everywhere I go. I did want to give a quick update, though. Ken might be interested because this has to do with being on the water and all. We've got the Big Rock Blue Marlin tournament going on. And right now, the guy in the lead pulled one in that's 572 pounds of blue marlin. That's a big blue marlin. Unique tournament. They do a daily release prize. So the guy that won it today let go two dolphins and a smaller blue marlin. He won $37,000, which, you know, might pay for the gas. That's the price of gas now. They're having a good old time down on the coast. They do this all week long. And I just thought we'd put a shout out to them.
Nice. You know, Ken talks about kayaking all the time. I don't know. I mean, you do fish too, right, Ken?
Actually, I'm not a fisher. I'm more of just a nature. I just like to watch nature and stuff. I'm not really into fishing.
No,
I was when I was younger, but you know, you catch the fish, you let it go. I get it. You know, I understand it, but I'm just really not into it. And, I'm kind of lazy, I guess, maybe. And I just would rather just not, I'd rather film than fish. You know, I'd rather just be, you know, have my GoPro going or whatever and, like, film the wildlife rather than fish it. So, yeah. I'm just weird.
This tournament.
I love kayaking. I love nature.
This thing started years ago, and the first prize, you know the Radio Flyer wagons, that brand?
Yeah.
The little small one they make for toddlers?
Right.
It started out as one of those wagons full of silver dollars. And now, I think the winner gets 3-point-something mil. They've built it up that big as a tournament. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how far they've gone with this thing. The first blue marlin that gets boated and brought back is called the Fine Fisherman's Award, which is what the original title of the tournament was. He wins $775,000 just for bringing in the first fish. This is a big money tournament that started out as nothing years ago. So if you're ever up this way, I mean, it's worth going to check out because it's a week-long event. So they've got always got something going on.
Mm. Yeah, I had enough trouble catching bluefish on a boat. I mean, you know, which, by the way, it doesn't take a genius to catch a bluefish. You throw something shiny in the water, you got one. I mean, that's pretty much it. but I had enough trouble catching bluefish, you know. I'm not a good fisherman. Never was. And those marlins, you know, they're pretty feisty. They're not, you know.
It will take 2 hours or more to get on the boat.
Right.
You know, you're fitness, doing it. Everybody is sitting in the chair. When they start calling people out, you crank on that thing for so long, and then somebody switches because you're absolutely worn out.
And you need the good, you know, the good-ass fishing rods, the equipment that goes with all that, the line, the boat to get there. I mean, it's a costly hobby, but, yeah, you can make money on it by doing what BP's talking about. Heck yeah. But yeah, not for me. It's just, you know, all of that's way too expensive for me. My kayak was $1,000 and you know, that for me is a huge purchase, you know, and I'm good with it. I bought a GoPro so I can, you know, I videotaped a little bit of my camping from a couple of months ago. It's on my YouTube channel, something big
and
cool camps right out at the island.
Ken, if you're ever this way, we've got some cypress swamps that they've really put a lot of money into building boat launches and that for people with kayaks. So if you ever cruising through North Carolina, bring your kayak because you'll find boatloads of places that you'd love just putting in and spending a day.
So
I don't doubt it. Here in Florida, where I live in Central Florida. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, this is like the capital of all that stuff. And, you know, just lots of kayaking down here and boating and everything. And, we're right close to the beach, in Edgewater, New Smyrna Beach. And so, yeah, I'm sure they're out there catching marlins and bluefish and everything else. But
we had a guy.
South, you'll get to Miami, and there's a lot of fishing down that area, too. I'm sure there are tournaments and stuff.
We had a guy from New Smyrna Beach that thumbed his way up here to Kinston for a keg party and got there on time. I was amazed.
Well, we got another caller on the line. Do you want to go to them, BP?
Sure. Bring them on. More the merrier.
All right. Let's do this. Anyways, the legendary caller on the line. How you doing, man? Hello. I know he's there.
Is he looking for his fan?
I don't know. You know, maybe he's Jimmy James. Can you hear me, man? Oh, he should be able to. I'd say it's a weird night. Okay.
He might have it on mute. Check your mute button, Jimmy.
Yeah, seems like. Okay.
This is the perfect time for the on hold music. Do, 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 do.
That accidentally came in last hour, you know, before Anyway, that was one of the breaks we had to take to fix that. And I don't know. I don't. The phone line is on. Here, let me put him back on hold. And take him back off a hold. Jimmy James. All right, I don't know what's going on. So,
well, wait. That's the problem. You don't know how long to wait before you go, can you hear me?
Yeah, right. You know, so this is great, though, because this is like he's actually building anticipation for his fans. That's
what it is.
Holding back.
Now we have a new game. Wait, we have a game show section.
Oh, there he is.
Call in and we guess how many minutes before you hear him.
Jimmy James, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing good. Sorry, right. I slipped out for a Coke. I thought I had time.
Okay, sorry about that. I should have known better. Nope. Hey, listen, you threw something in the chat room that, am I reading that right? What the hell is going on there? Did you see a headline from somewhere?
This is underlined. There's been yet another great insurrection. Never forget June 17th, a day that shall live in infamy. 9 members of the Colbert Report militia illegally went into the Capitol building and have been arrested.
Okay, so people connected to Stephen Colbert's TV show have been arrested at the Capitol today.
Just now, yep, for entering the Capitol building complex illegally, same as the people that have been sitting in jail for 2 years.
Well, I'm stunned. Can somebody get me confirmation on this? Because that's a wild headline. Where did you see this, Jimmy James?
Oh, it comes in my mail when any of these goofy things happen. I make sure I'm the first to know.
Ah, okay. The special connection. My news feed just...
The red alerts.
See, I wasn't...
It's on Mediate.
It's on Mediate.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's on Imagine Point. It's on The Rap, KDVR-TV.
Wow.
Twitchy.
Wow. What in the hell is...
I saw a gunman open fire in Alabama church. That just happened. Well, no, but I haven't seen what y'all are talking about yet. I just got on YouTube. But.
Yeah, the gunman in the Alabama... The gunman in the Alabama church happened some hours ago because I saw it at about 3 p.m. Today. I saw that in my news feed, but this must have just happened. Go ahead, BP. What have you found out?
To say the conservativetreehouse.com has the headline, Worse Than Watergate, 7 members of Stephen Colbert's crew arrested.
Okay.
No, it's 9. Their militia's 9. That's even more than the Michigan militia.
What in the hell?
Not counting FBI.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, 9 seem to be the prevalent number in these stories.
Yeah, so that means there's probably 9 guys and then 9 FBI guys along with them. So you probably have 18 somewhere, but they're not going to mention the other 9. What... Does anybody know why they were doing this, or like what was the point of this?
I don't know. It happened last night. Let's see what media
it
says.
Happened last night. Wow, totally missed it.
Multiple staffers who worked for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert were arrested Thursday night and charged with illegal entry at a building near the U.S. Capitol. Jesse Waters broke the news. Waters reported Capitol Police officers were dispatched to the Longworth House office building at around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. There, 9. No, I don't want email alerts. You can go away. Okay, there were 9 people seen roaming the building, and the building was closed. Waters additionally reported CBS staffers were around the offices of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Representative Jim Jordan.
Okay.
And they list the names of all 9. Jake Plunkett, Allison Martinez, Tyrone Dean, Stephen Ramond, Nicoletta Green, Brendan Hurley, Robert Smigel, Josh Comers, and David Feldman.
Smigel. Wait a minute, go back there. Did you say Smigel?
Robert Smigel, S-M-I-G. I don't know who he is.
He's a writer, was on SNL. Wait.
Okay.
Robert Smigel. M-I-G-E-L.
There you go. I'm speechless. What does this mean? Was there an attempted insurrection by the liberal media? What happened?
See if they stay in jail for 2 years.
Well, you know, if it's just a simple trespass, probably not.
I don't know. That's what January 22nd, the people that have been charged, that's all they've been charged with, parading and or trespassing.
Well, as I've said on the show several times, you know, it's not like this is unusual where you get caught up in the system for a while if you don't have the money to bail out right away, or if you don't have the right lawyer to argue for you to get bail right away. yeah, sometimes you sit a while. I'm assuming... Yeah, go ahead.
It's been last summer since a judge went and, like, looked over the place and said that not only has all the rights of everyone involved in this case been violated, but this whole place is a mess.
Yeah. Well, here's what I guarantee you about the Stephen Colbert-connected people is that there are network lawyers on retainer, so guaranteed they have people that are ready and willing to go straight into court and start filings immediately to get them out of there. But not everybody has that sort of team behind them. So I guess we'll have to see how this goes. I'm dumbfounded by why it is this happened. Does anybody know what the motive was? Were they trying to get interviews? I mean, what was going on?
Well, clearly, somehow.
I would imagine they were just going to do a story on it and do a skit on it or something on the show. You know, say, hey, look what we did, you know.
Okay. Do you have any other information, Jimmy James?
No, I think Colbert was trying to seize the seat of power. He wanted to have himself... Clearly, he wanted to have himself installed as King of America.
So it's the...
I demand immediate investigation. I want congressional committees. I want to spend $500 million.
Well, you know, you want to spend another $500 million to do nothing? Because that's what's going to happen anyway. Nothing. But the Stephen Colbert coup is what we're looking at here, huh?
Colbert coup.
I don't know. I bet you that's a hashtag already.
I would. If not, we'll make it one.
Yeah, we need to make it one, exactly. Hashtag Colbert coup. Yeah, I mean, I want a further explanation. What was the motive for this? I mean, explain yourselves. That's what I would want. That's crazy. I almost think we have serious publicity stunt here for some reason. I don't know. Is Stephen Colbert's ratings down? What's going on, BP?
You imagine being the CBS lawyer and getting that phone call. Oh, we've got 9 of our employees arrested.
Yeah,
like,
right.
To be clear, all three, the two Jimmys and Colbert, all three of their ratings combined don't even match that guy Gutfield, who airs the same time on Fox. That's how pathetic the so-called comedy shows are.
Yeah, there you go. And Fox News has dominated the ratings because they have the serious loyalty base. That's a promise. I mean, the same people that watch Hannity today are the same people that were watching Hannity 3 years ago. You know what I mean? They are consistent.
How is Newsmax doing? Are they holding their own?
Well, I don't know. They were complaining for a little bit that satellite companies were removing them, and then I think they got back in the game. So they had sued over the fact that they were being removed. supposedly for bias or whatever. But, you know, Newsmax, I don't know what to do with them. Those idiots were running the band, the Men Who Killed Kennedy episodes in the middle of the night. I mean, you know, they were running Judy Baker's The Love Affair, for God's sake. So, you know, that's all I need to know about them.
Remember back during Clinton's impeachment and all, remember when Ruddy had people standing in the background outside of the buildings where the crowds would gather in the court and all that that had the Newsmax placards, and that's how he got started?
Yep.
Remember way back then? Never thought it would have gotten to a cable channel. I really didn't think it would go that far.
Yeah, I thought as far as it would have gone was a popular YouTube channel and, you know, stuff like that, but nah, I was surprised when they turned into a whole full-on satellite experience and everything, yeah.
I was surprised, you know, but they've got Jerome Corsi with them now, who, I mean, he's gone off the deep end on several things.
That's true.
He was all Ralph Sink and all that crowd, Fetzer and them for a while.
Right, right. You know, and the other thing is, I mean, I remember Drudge getting his start back then, too, and Drudge's website still looks the same as it did in the mid-90s, pretty much. So, you know, yeah.
It's amazing how far some of those companies have gone. When I heard Newsmax was going to an actual channel, I was surprised. I haven't watched it. I think I've watched 7 o'clock news, whoever that guy is doing that section, when we get off the road. We were traveling last year. Maybe saw it a couple times, but just that one program. So I couldn't tell you anything about it. But, you know, to ratings-wise, you're right. Fox has got a loyal viewer. It's
very
amazing.
Consistent. Yeah, very, very consistent.
They've been killing it on the ratings for like at least a decade and a half. Fox. I mean, I used to watch Fox. I used to be a Hannity. I used to listen to his radio show back in 2002 or, you know, almost 20 years ago. And they had the ratings all, you know, they've never let go of those ratings, but they have lost. They have lost a little bit compared to the way they used to be, and I think that's just because people have stopped watching, like myself included, stopped watching like those types of newscasts and started going more into independent media. But yeah, they've always dominated ratings wise. The only thing that beat them on cable for a while was wrestling. Believe it or not, WWE wrestling.
Hey, you know, and there's a couple of interesting stories there. Vince McMahon is apparently stepping down as the CEO of the WWE. And for some reason,
that's on what Kent said. Fox is now carrying wrestling on their channels.
Yeah, Fox has got the SmackDown on Fox. I'm talking about like Fox News, which is affiliated with Fox or whatever. But it's a cable rated show where Fox, the regular Fox 5 or whatever, wherever depending on where you are, you know, that's the local channel, and the Fox network carries SmackDown on Fridays, and maybe something else too. I don't even remember. News itself, as far as the cable business, like they kill everybody on cable. They've been doing it for decades, and the only thing that used to beat them, like O'Reilly used to talk about this, by the way, he said the only thing that beats us is wrestling, because wrestling was on cable at the time, you know, all the time too, like USA Channel with the Raw and everything, and so they were getting crushed, you know. Wrestling was crushing everybody. It still does. Apparently, wrestling does really good in whatever range.
Well,
I think that's
another.
Why Fox and local channels picked up SmackDown.
Well, there's another thing where you got serious high levels of loyalty in your viewership is with wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people, they just will not miss a Monday Night Raw. You know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. So, couple of things, though. Vince McMahon stepping down. I mean, did anybody see that headline? And also, I was just re-informed, and I should have known this, but, you know, Jimmy James said it's worse than Watergate was one of the headlines, or maybe you said it, B. Pete. 50 years ago today, Watergate break-in. How about that? So, I was only, a month and a half old, I guess, right? Anyway, or 2 months old.
This is Nixon revisiting us.
Yeah, well, the ghost of Nixon will get you.
Nixon's revisiting us. Oh, the horror. Oh!
thinking back on it, though, that was a pivotal moment on TV to have the Watergate hearings broadcast.
But at this point, 50 years ago, this is just the break-in. And then, the hearings and everything come later. Of course, that was a big moment because all of a sudden, the national interest in stuff like this and the corruption in politics was front and center. You know, and I think it was a whole decade of that in the 70s, really. I think that might be what my attitude is about when it comes to not being all that friendly to the system the way it works, is that, you know, what was I reading in the newspapers as a kid is Watergate. They were still discussing it when I learned how to read. And then, your HSCA, all these other different congressional committees finding out about, the CIA's misdeeds, assassination plots. MK Ultra getting mentioned, you know what I'm saying? It was fish shell toxin guns. I mean, you know, this is what was on display in the committees there, right? So
it opened.
I appreciated the letter. I appreciated the letter that General Walker sent the church committee to ask if they could check and see if the CIA tried to kill him.
Right. Well, you know, and again, anybody that wants to dispute that Walker was kind of nuts, I don't know what to tell you, but then again, maybe not entirely.
Wait a minute,
right?
Doc. Yeah. Wait a minute. Does it matter? Look, forget the part. Don't even think that RFK or the Kennedys actually did it. Do you think the part, does it seem highly implausible to you that two people dressed as Dallas officers did indeed go to Walker's and tell him that?
No, it does not seem improbable to me because of all the, all the intrigue in the, let's just say the right-wing underground at the time. There was plenty of stuff like that, and assassination plots, and vying for power in your John Bircher kind of atmospheres and stuff like that. That was all real. Guys were playing against
maybe
each other.
As far as Walker knew, maybe he really did think that the Kennedys were gunning for him. Maybe that's exactly what the local police told him.
Well, that's another thing is, there's the idea that it could have been fake police, number one. Number two, the idea that maybe it was the real police and that's what they decided to tell him, which they could have been telling him that for different reasons. I mean, the guy would stir things up everywhere he went. So, you know, the possibilities are endless there. I don't dispute that the guy thought that either, that he thought that people were out to get him, because indeed some people were out to get him. I think that's provable. As for whether the CIA was gunning for Walker, I think if they really wanted him, he'd be dead sooner. But the thing is that the idea that other people might have wanted a piece of him or maybe wanted him dead, not crazy. But anyway, yeah, I think there's a world of possibilities there when it comes to Walker and all that stuff. Because again, controversial figure, somebody else who was equally a right winger but disagreed with him might have wanted to take him out. And there were violent liberal factions in the country as well that could have wanted to kill him. So could have been plenty of people gunning for him. What do you think, Jimmy James?
Yeah, I mean, my old thought is, well, of course the Kennedy administration did not really kick Oswald and Ruby loose, but I have a funny feeling that someone told Walker that. I don't think he dreamed it. No, I don't think it was legitimate information, but I think they wanted Walker good and stupid.
Well, that's the thing, is somebody could be telling him something because it's real, or somebody could be telling him something so that he'll react a certain way or change plans about something. I mean, again, the amount of intrigue built into that whole thing, the possibilities are wide. You know, I always found it funny that that he talks about, digging the bullet out of the wall when somebody took a shot at him. And that bullet, according to him, is not a Manlike or Carcano round, you know?
It was listed in the report as a .30-06.
Right. And I think Walker even confirmed that, like I said, he's the one who dug it out of his own wall. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. He said, no, this, he said, no way. He even tossed them that later in the 70s in Congress.
Right.
He has his own weird theories. Of course, he thinks the commies killed Kennedy.
Well, sure, why not? You know, and there's people today that want to tell you that as well. Oh, it was a Russian plot. Yeah. Whole History Channel series devoted to that with former CIA and FBI guys pushing that theory. That, you know, Oswald was a Russian agent. Yeah.
I think Aristotle Onassis had it knocked off so he, you know, Jackie could do what she wanted to do.
Now, I've heard people give that theory seriously, B. Pete. You really believe that, or are you joking?
I'm joking, but he's got the money. He had the money to do it.
I know. My favorite weird one was the guy that went on Coast to Coast AM and was saying that it was either, I think it was a news wife, you know, DM and New. Mm-hmm. You know, they were both assassinated, you know, a couple weeks before, but they were saying it was his wife that had Kennedy knocked off in revenge for what happened with, you know, DM and New. So
that's a unique theory. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, well, I hadn't heard that one up to that point either, and I just kind of said, well, so what you're telling me is that from South Vietnam, this woman arranged this in 3 weeks and got ninjas. Away with it? You know, okay, because it was only ninjas. 3 weeks earlier. Yeah, ninjas, why not? Sure.
Yeah, she read it just...
Sorry, BP, you cut off there. What'd you say?
I said she rented some ninjas.
Hey, why not? Right? Anyways, so...
From the French drug smuggler by the name of Raoul.
Yeah, why not? You know, and I'm always happy to blame the French for anything, so it's fine. No.
Yeah, they... Just dirty. Can we blame French. That?
It's them
and
their
cheese.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and tell you, Chuck, I was almost turning two. I was turning two when all that happened with the Watergate. So I was like, a month and a half, you know, not even away from two. But I knew
Don't
nothing about it. The only thing I wanted to watch was Big
Don't
Bird.
Don't play a game, Spam Camp. We know you were involved. You're like St. John Hunt. You were making grenades in your crib.
I was watching Grover and Ernie and Bert. That's what I was interested in. So
you were watching.
Oh, Bob McMahon, by the way, stepping down. I mean, he hasn't. Believe me, I guarantee you, some way his voice still matters, but he's stepping away. But you know, Stephanie's getting it, and of course, it's really just Triple H because he's got all the respect from the. Well, some of the guys, not everybody. I mean, he definitely has respect, but. He's been calling the shots for a while with NXT and everything going on. So it's not really a surprise. But, you know, Vince being the egomaniac he is actually just saying he's stepping down like that or whatever. But it really doesn't. I'm sure he still has final say.
He must
say.
Be retiring. He must be done. He must be getting his big payout and be through, huh?
Well, supposedly.
He's sitting there collecting the money all he's going to collect, and he's getting older, and his kids are just taking over. You know, Shane is. Some kind of executive there, and Stephanie now is pretty much running everything, or like I said, Triple H, Paul Levesque, or whatever his name is. So,
well, my understanding was that it's because of some controversy there, where there's some allegations against him for this or that, and that's why he's stepping down. But I don't know, you know, you never know with these things. There's actually
he wasn't always the most loved man, but he was a, you know, like seemed like everything he touched when it came to wrestling, he turned to gold. Not the XFL though. That's not wrestling, that was football.
Yeah, well. That
hey, that would have worked out if it wasn't for COVID. That stadium football, I was digging it, everyone was digging it, and then bam, COVID destroyed it.
Yeah, but you know, their extreme bodybuilding federation didn't work out so well. Or whatever that was.
Yeah. Everything like outside of wrestling, he helped out with some movies and movie careers, but like when it comes to wrestling, everything the guy touched turned to gold. But you know, he beat, you know, Ted Turner in the Monday Night Wars. Eventually, you know, he beat Ted Turner and you know, TBS, the WCW wrestling. I mean, you know, he when it comes to wrestling, he is the godfather or whatever, man. He made it. He put it on the map, and with help with guys like Hogan and, of course, the greatest in the world, the greatest of all time, Rowdy Roddy Piper. The hot rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper. But, yeah, so, but he's, what, 77 now? Something like that? I mean, he...
Well, I'm not sure.
To just enjoy his later years, you know, enjoy life.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old he is. I do recall that, you know, back in the days of ESPN first getting launched, really, you know, that they had wrestling from all the different territories that they would get really cheap. That was the whole thing. Is, you know, that's why they had, like, you could watch people play pool on ESPN. Not kidding. And stuff like that. And they got stuff from all the different territories. And once, you know, cable came in and Ted Turner had his thing going, it was just like McMahon figured out a way to consolidate and take over, you know, what was the Northeast territory. And it just grew from there. And
he started doing what you're not supposed to do. Well, I'll go ahead and finish, but I'll tell you what that's all about. He did the no-no. You're not supposed to go hire all the big names of your competitors and drag them in and then just make them like jobbers. You know, he'd go get a lot, you know, of course he promoted Hulk Hogan and all that, but, you know, he'd go get some of these big name guys that were great in their, you know, Mid-South wrestling or whatever, that were up and coming superstars, and he'd take them, get them in a WWE contract, and then just literally almost make them jobbers, lose to his guys and stuff like that, to build his company, like, to be the most dominant. He did that.
Right.
So
I believe this
is gave called, him a run in the late 90s.
I believe it's called the New York Yankees method.
Yeah, well,
where
pretty
just
much.
Buy everything good.
Yep.
There's more to the story,
yeah,
too.
Go ahead, BP. There's more to the story.
Back in January of this year, Major League Wrestling filed a lawsuit against the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, Stephanie McMahon, who's Vince's daughter, she took a leave of absence from the WWE, and they were looking at changing some structure in the hierarchy. While she was on her leave of absence, they are wondering if it's in connection with this lawsuit that was filed. Apparently, she reached out to Fox, and they have a streaming service, Tubi, and Major League Wrestling was working on a deal with Fox to run Major League Wrestling on Tubi, and she went to Fox and asked them to nix the deal because of the deals that they've got with Fox. So now had this past inappropriate, well, it was a consensual affair of Vince's that he filed a non-disclosure. They filed a non-disclosure agreement in cooperation with paying this person like $3 million to just go away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somehow that came out now, and the board found out about it, so the board is investigating him on the payoff to this. It was a paralegal that was working for him that supposedly he was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
So the board is investigating him. Vince says, I'm stepping down while I'm investigated. Now Stephanie's come back in to run things, and she's tied up with this lawsuit with Major League Wrestling, so it's pretty heavy-duty lawyer dealings going on.
Yeah,
it looks. It sounds like it. Definitely. I didn't know about all that. In fact, I'm not even sure what Major League Wrestling is. I know there's AEW. I know there's Ring of Honor. TNA still around. They all kind of affiliated together right now with AEW, All Elite Wrestling.
And, Major League Wrestling. Is there's a New York Post story on it. It says they filed the antitrust suit against the WWE. Mamaroneck-based promotion run by former WWE writer Court Bauer. So apparently he's had something going on in California because they filed in San Francisco.
Mm.
So apparently this former writer has started another league and or federation, I guess. And they're trying to put something together with their own wrestlers. Hmm. Yeah, so
yeah, I don't know the guy. I haven't heard the name. I haven't dug into it. Like, I barely watch wrestling anymore, but I used to love it back in the day. You know.
Well, apparently it's been going for a while here. It says the complaint said that in mid-2021, after Major League Wrestling entered into a lucrative agreement with Fox to own streaming service Tubi, WWE called an executive at the media company and asked it to terminate the deal. If not, WWE threatened to stop doing business with Fox and pull their programming. Just days before Major League Wrestling content was to begin airing on Tubi, the contract was ended, the complaint said. Major League Wrestling said in the complaint that this led to event cancellations and delays, resulting in a 40% drop in their ticket sales within weeks. Mm. So we're big money. Apparently, WWE is getting a $1 billion deal with Fox for a five-year contract for Friday Night SmackDown.
Right.
$1
billion. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's probably worth it.
They're getting the ratings, and that's the magic that they're working over there in that company. But they'll squish anybody if he tries to get in their way. They're ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's the thing is, when he consolidated all this, so, I mean, that was the point of it. So, really quickly, an update from the chat room about the Colbert coup situation. Lucum is just basically saying that apparently they were banging on the doors of offices of Republicans like Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan and Lauren Boebert as they were filming a skit on the January 6th hearings, and they got arrested during that. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's I don't think it's quite the coup. It's probably just they didn't get
the doors of the offices were actually occupied this time. Oh, this is far worse than January 6th.
Well, I don't know for sure that they were occupied, but either way, it's probably just a problem with them not getting the permits to film. You know what I'm saying? Because if they had that, it would have been all right, I think. But they didn't have it. Because they wouldn't have been arrested otherwise. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He also says Billy Corgan apparently owns one of the bigger wrestling federations in existence at the moment, too. I don't know if that's true. But that would be funny as well.
Actually, the guy from... what's that band?
Smashing Pumpkins.
I forget the name of the band, but...
Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan.
Yeah, Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah, he does. He owns, I think it's Ring of Honor, but he's a part owner.
Hmm. Yep, okay.
When I worked...
Yeah, that is true.
Back when I was working in baseball, I, for one preseason ticket sale event down, I was working with the Charlotte O's, and that was owned by Frances Crockett, who was Jim Crockett's daughter. And so she had the National Wrestling Alliance back when Gordon Solie was the announcer? Was that NWA?
Yeah, Georgia Championship Wrestling and then NWA yeah. National Wrestling Alliance. That was the best back in the mid-'80s.
They used to shoot from the Charlotte Coliseum. And so I worked for Frances Crockett, and she also had the baseball team, the Charlotte O's. And it was amazing the number of people that were invested in wrestling back then, entertainers that, you know, put their money into it. I was surprised. She introduced me to a lot of people and said, yeah, they own this, they own that, they're involved with this, they sponsor that. I was surprised at the amount of people that really backed it.
Well, look,
in the mid-'80s, I'll say real quick, in the mid-'80s, the Georgia Championship Wrestling with Gordon Solie, and then, it became the National Wrestling Alliance, or the NWA, and then finally WCW by 90 or whatever, but those days from like 1984 to like 1988, 89, in Georgia Championship Wrestling, Atlanta, Georgia, Turner's Saturday night, you got 2 hours of wrestling from 6 to 8. And it's like the best, and that was the best for us. That was when Ric Flair was world champion. Woo! Coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Dusty Rhodes, fucking like a monkey. The Horsemen and all that was the best wrestling has ever been. But meanwhile, in the WWF at the time, with WWE now, they were building Hulk Hogan. Roddy Piper eventually went over there and became the sensation he did. Hogan's enemy that built up the WrestleMania and everything. But, they were building up to be the biggest corporation there, even over NWA, Ric Flair and all that. And, he was always beating Turner out in that. And then finally, Turner, during the Monday Night Wars in the mid to late 90s there, he was winning. He started winning a whole bunch with the whole NWO thing, and it had Hall and Nash over there and Hogan teamed up. And then the WWE started the Attitude Era with Shawn Michaels and Triple H and DX and all that, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin, bam. And once they launched him as the main guy, and then The Rock eventually right after that, you know, they won the Monday Night Wars and Turner gave up. So just a little piece of history there, just summed up as quick as I can do it.
Oh, there you go.
Very interesting, though.
Yeah, I was watching it back in the days when like Lou Albano was a manager and stuff like that too. You know, they had the
manage the Wild Samoans.
Yeah, yeah, those guys, oh. And they were nice guys, by the way. just saying, they were big guys and they were nice, really nice if you met them. Anyways, it was a different era.
Was Roman Reigns' dad and. Sika, or is it Sika that's Roman Reigns' dad? I forget, but I mean, the whole Samoan dynasty, look at what Roman Reigns and the Usos, which is the Rikishi's boys, they're the unified tag team champs. You know, Roman Reigns right now, he's beaten Brock Lesnar, he's unified the world championships, and Paul Heyman's wrestling him, and they're the biggest thing in wrestling. I mean, they've gone over a year, like, just undefeated, and it's the Samoan dynasty. I love it. You know, the Tonga Kid, he's a buddy of mine, is their uncle, the Usos' uncle, and his son might end up showing up in the WWE eventually. But, you know, that Samoan dynasty, they rock. Really cool dudes, too. You know, I that's the only thing I do watch is a little bit of SmackDown on Fridays when I get into work. And like I said, I'm not working tonight. I'm here. But I'll get into work and watch from 9 to 10, and usually by 10 o'clock, you know, Roman Reigns is out there and the Usos and they're beating somebody up. So, but yeah, good P. I love seeing the Samoan dynasty. I mean, some of the best wrestlers, and you know, of all time, have come from that family, that huge family.
Right. Yeah. No, I do remember it was Apa Sika, and then they added another guy for a little bit, and I can't remember his name, but yeah, the Wild Samoans.
Well, eventually had the Tonga Kid up there too. You know.
Yeah, they added him in there later.
Tonga Kid for two. Yep.
We had a guy working with us a couple years ago, Toa Maivia, who is uncle to The Rock and their family. Their family brought this shit over from Hawaii. They wrestled in the Hawaii League and out in California a lot. I'm trying to think. He had two.
His grandfather
uncles.
Was Rocky, was Peter Maivia.
Yeah.
The Rock's
yeah.
actual grandfather, his mother's side. She's See, that's where he's connected in with the Samoan family. His grandfather was really tight with Afa and Sika and those guys, right? It's a long story, so I'll really try to sum it up quick. But he was friends, and they made him like all like they're all like one family. And I think the Tonga or the Rock comes from the Maivia side, who are like brothers to Afa and Sika, and you know. So that's why they're all like extended family. That's what they consider. And the Samoan dynasty, part of the Samoan dynasty.
Hafa. How did Hafa get involved?
Not Hafa, Afa. Yeah. Nah, that,
give me Hafa.
That guy, they're never going to find him. Anyways.
Damn you, O'Kelly.
Was it the Secret of Oak Island or something? I watched that thing for like 5 years, and I thought if they don't find Jimmy Hoffa at the bottom of this hole, it's a waste.
Yeah.
Wait. BP, you just said something that jogged a very recent news thing to my head. Okay, so check it out. Some treasure hunters are filing stuff against the FBI because they found the remains of that Confederate ship they've been looking for. So they told the FBI or whatever, and the FBI stole all the gold. And they're like, oh, there's nothing there. And they claim they only got four tapes, and they actually had like 400. But how the guys lucked out was some random dude just had a trail cam there showing them doing it.
Nice. Yeah, I saw something about that. I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of it because it's not really major headline news, but I saw something about that, and I was like, wow, you know, here we go with treasure hunters getting robbed by the FBI.
Yeah, the problem is they thought they knew where the treasure was, but it was on federal property, so they had to contact the feds for permission. And when they did, the FBI came in and said, we'll handle this. And they went and found whatever they found, absconded with it in the middle of the night, and then these guys had to go to court under a Freedom of Information Act request to get copies of the tapes and everything that the FBI took. So this is an ongoing battle. It's going to get interesting.
Yeah, well, and you wonder what it is we're talking about here. How much could have...
Exactly.
You know, because and where did it go?
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah. It sounds like a good amount of that Confederate gold in the last days that disappeared.
It could be.
Yeah, that's what they did. They traced it from the ship, and I think that where it was unloaded, and they think they figured out how they took off with it, wagons, and supposedly hid it at this place. So they tracked it all down and said, we want to dig. The FBI said, yeah, we'll do that.
So helpful they are.
It bless them.
Yeah, of course. Anyways, we got about, say, 23 minutes left, and definitely if anybody else wants to jump in here, 319-527-5016 is the number to call. As you can see, we're going through a bunch of different things that are sort of news stories currently, and also getting a little history lesson on wrestling, especially from Spent Kent, but getting a little bit of commentary and checking in on the latest news story with Vince McMahon and all that.
And then the treasure guy, one of the first clues was when the agents came back and both of them were driving Lamborghinis.
Yeah, well, that would be a hint.
He said, that's odd.
Yeah, well, look, FBI agents are always on the up and up. So what do you want, Jimmy James? You know that had to be like one in a card game? Come on. I mean, you know, just say it.
Well, I'm sure that's genuine. I'm sure the government issues those things to them, probably.
That too, right. I mean, doesn't every FBI agent get, you know, expensive Italian sports car? I don't know. Anyways,
Miami Vice, it seems that way.
Yeah, well, wow. Miami Vice, there's a blast from the past. Yeesh. Anyways,
back when people wore shoes made out of wicker.
Yikes. Anyways, so if you want to call in, 319-527-5016. And as you can see, anything is fair game if you want to talk about it. We've also discussed the Colbert coup, apparently. What's going on there? Is it 7 or is it 9? Jimmy James says 9 staffers from the Colbert Report have been arrested, or maybe that's not the name of the show anymore.
Soldiers,
Jimmy James
George
says.
George W. Bush, breaking news, George W. Bush just came out and had the statement about the whole Colbert thing. They're terrorists. With Colbert, they're Colbertists. Terrorists. Thank you.
Well, can't get fooled again. Okay. So, B. Pete, is there anything in your wheelhouse this week, something you want to talk about? I mean, look, we did discuss a bunch of stuff last night, and I'm glad that we did. The impromptu sort of call-in thing. Tonight, not as productive in the first couple of minutes, but hey, it's been an interesting show afterwards. So it is Friday.
The Glenn thing, I remembered what kicked it all off, BP, and you guys totally missed it. Glenn didn't remember it, neither did you guys.
Well, I didn't see it. But what was it, Jimmy James? Tell us.
I wrote it. What initially kicked the whole thing off was Glenn was pushing back at you and BP saying that big oil controls the price of gas. That they could just pick a number. But somehow, some way, Glenn totally forgot all that.
Yeah.
So I was going to try to remind him, but then the dude took off.
Mm. Well, you know, here we go again. Do they control it? Absolutely. I don't know that I would make that statement, but they definitely manipulate it. So I don't know that I would say they control it, but I would say they do manipulate it, and they do manipulate it for their own profits. I mean, that's what they do. Again, having been a stockholder, having worked for the one of the biggest companies, I can tell you that's what they do. So, you know, it's what am I supposed to say? Of course, I'm not, you know, part of the greater corporate boards or anything like that. Never was, but enough.
Well, they get help in manipulating it. Mm-hmm. The people that we elect to represent us.
Right. No, but that's the thing. It's a cyclical relationship where the two things, you know, work on each other. I think that we actually have somebody trying to get added via Skype, but you're not supposed to call in. You got to get added when I call you in. So I'm going to try and do that now. Yeah, don't call in via Skype. You message me, and then I call you into the show. So this may be an additional caller here with the last 19 minutes or so that will definitely change the trajectory of the conversation. Let's see. Chris, I got to call you into the show, just so you know, but I think you can hear me. You're on the air.
Yeah. All right. You have to call me?
Yeah, I already did. I did that just now, but you were calling me before, and it's like, no, you can't call in via Skype. I got to call you. So,
my name is Bob.
Okay.
All right.
Call yourself what you want. That's fine by me. What's on your mind, Chris?
So what's this about Hoffa hiring a Samoan to take out Kennedy?
Okay. I don't know.
That's the newest thing.
I don't know.
That's the new scoop.
Spent
Chum Colbert is taking down the Capitol?
Yeah, well, apparently some of his staffers were arrested, nine of them, according to Jimmy James, that were arrested for, you know, trespassing and stuff like that.
Were their handlers arrested, too?
Oh, well, we don't have all those details yet, do we? You know, Sped Kent, what about that? Is there a wild Samoan involved in the Kennedy assassination?
They're all terrorists.
Okay, fair enough.
They're Colbertists.
Colbertists.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a big coup going on or something.
All right, fair enough. So, Chris, what else you got on your mind?
Well, I was going to say, I had Tijuana Bibles, yay or nay, and also whether or not you guys ever believes that Richard Simmons is being held hostage to this day.
BP, how would you like to handle this?
Oh, Richard Simmons?
Yeah, someone said that his person that took care of him was like holding him hostage. I remember Howard Stern used to talk about that.
I would not doubt it one bit. Back when I was working with Frances Crockett, her daughter was friends with Mr. Tennis Shoe providing, what was it? It was his, what was his brand of shoes that he wore all the time? Anyways, pimping them like Nikes. Yeah, I don't doubt it. I've heard that story before that he had become recluse, but now his family members or something are petitioning to get somebody to investigate.
Yeah, like someone was holding him, like the person that was his caregiver was like holding him hostage for, you know, his checks. His boyfriend.
He hired a boyfriend that was supposed to be a boy toy, and he took over the whole joy. If I've seen him once, I've seen it 1,000 times.
Me too, and that ties into Hoffa somehow. I can't put my finger on it, but we'll get to it.
Wow.
Hoffa hired the Samoan, who hired Colbert, who's working for the French Canadian. The French Canadians are working for Permindex. Come on.
Somehow Hall has something to do with it too, with the crystal meth.
No, that part's true.
And meanwhile,
Hall, I will say, was in the Dallas area November 22nd, 1963. I don't know if he was a shooter or if he was a spotter, but I would be willing to bet anything on it if I had any way to prove it.
Well, do you know that the something I found out actually for research, I found out that the mayor of Oklahoma during the Oklahoma City debacle was actually on the Dallas police force on November 22nd, 1963. Mm. Now, I'm not saying there's a connection there, but I never knew that before.
I am.
Kind of curious.
Police incompetence went from one city to another.
You know, there's a lot of freaky connections to the OKC bombing that I don't know what to do with, where you got people that it's like, wait a minute, this is the same guy from this other situation. There is a convergence of guys who are involved in other circumstances that are controversial, or where people died, or where things are strange, or there's some, you know, controversy over the history. There's a bunch of people that come together in Oklahoma City. And
please do tell, because I had spent like the last couple of months researching Oklahoma City for somebody, and I came across all kinds of weird stuff. What have you guys heard?
Well, no, I'm just saying, almost everywhere you turn, you got weird stuff, from the cops to the, to the BATF people. I mean, left and right, everybody is connected to something else.
Waco, I mean, that's the obvious one, that and Whitewater.
Yeah, but see, those things, you would say, okay, look, you know, Waco, all right, that's, you know, because you got feds, fine.
They say that there was evidence in the building. Whether or not that's true, I haven't been able to substantiate, but also with Whitewater, too, it's a similar situation. And even Ruby Ridge, there was a connection.
Well, Ruby Ridge, I mean, that's a whole other ridiculous incident where, again, not a fan of Randy Weaver, but he didn't deserve to have his family murdered. So,
exactly.
You know, just saying. Was he a racist and a white supremacist? Yeah, but he was trying to live alone on a mountain. You should have left him the hell alone.
Right.
But, okay. Anyway, I don't
How
see...
How do we even know he's racist?
They tried to paint him as a child molester, and apparently that wasn't true either.
David.
Well, no, but yeah. Randy
well,
Weaver.
We don't know. How can we know? Burned everyone up.
That's true.
Okay, but Randy Weaver, I know, said plenty of stuff that you can't take it any other way. Other than being racist. And I mean, I've heard recordings that people didn't want to use on shows and stuff.
Really?
Where in his own words, you know that this guy was all about the white man. I'm not saying this based on an assumption given to me by the MSM. I'm saying that I've heard him say stuff direct. I can tell you there's a couple other interesting people in conspiracy culture that you don't know are quite racist that have gone off on rants.
About the Jews did it all and all that stuff.
Well, you know, the Jews are, you know, it's blacks that are destroying America and, and that's what it is. And then you go, okay, well, maybe you're right about that. And then they go, yeah, but the problem is that they're not really, you know, they're subhumans and this kind of thing. And they tell you that privately and you go, okay, I don't know how to, you know, how to say other than, okay, you're at least racist. Some of them don't say this stuff in public, but you know, you talk to them privately, they relax for a minute, and they start talking about who is a subhuman and who isn't. And I'm sorry, that to me is racism. Okay,
right.
You know, and I don't even want to mention names because some of them are sort of iconic in the
I know
conspiracy world.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because sometimes they actually do seem to have legitimate stuff, and then they sprinkle in the racist crop.
You know, but then also, you know, it's like I wound up having a conversation with one guy, and he was talking to me about, you know, the different levels of subhumans and the different levels of, like, you know, useless people that need to be eliminated. And I'm like, okay, I know what this sounds. Yeah, I know what this sounds like. And then
Come
I said,
on,
well,
Chuck,
you know, would
Chuck, you? I thought we agreed you weren't supposed to talk to Jim Fetzer anymore.
Well, he got into the whole Jew thing for a while.
He did, pretty fast, too.
Well, it's all about that one book, that Michael Collins Piper book, which he got convinced by, and that's it. You know, the Jews are responsible for Kennedy's assassination. Now they're responsible for everything.
Right.
And that was, you know, I think I've told this story before, but I suggested him for a spot on Ground Zero Radio. Because they wanted a guy who would give a solid philosophical explanation for the idea of conspiracy theory being a very logical way of thinking about things. It's not, you know, just the fevered mind of somebody who's delusional that comes right. up with conspiracy theory. Okay, so honestly, objectively, even though Jim is, you know, he's batshit. I mean, let's be honest. But right. when he does a presentation about how conspiracy makes more sense, because people generally work together, and there is a philosophical reason why people work together, and this and that, and the third thing. When he does that, it's very good. It's very logical. I can actually see how he was a professor, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, the producers over Ground Zero, please, we need somebody to do this. And I said, well, look, I got, you know, I gave him somebody else. They couldn't get a hold of that guy. They called me back. We need somebody else. I said, okay, well, look, I'm going to warn you. Jim Fetzer, you're going to have to keep him on topic. But if you keep him on topic, you'll get a good presentation out of him. Right. But you're going to have to be careful because, you know, he's unhinged, okay? So you got to keep him on the topic. Well, they didn't quite listen to me, and Jim started doing his thing. And the next thing you know, it was like, well, the Holocaust wasn't really real. And, yep. you know, you can't do that on terrestrial radio. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. They were.
So, you know, so Clyde objected and interrupted him. And Jim freaked out at him. And at one point was calling him, you know, I think a faggot. And that his and that, you know, he had a Jew boyfriend calling in.
Well, that's logical, I guess.
Oh, no, it was totally unhinged. Like, it's this massive mess, and it just was like, well, we're going to have to let Jim Fetzer go for the night. You know, wow. and it was just like, wow, okay. And quite frankly, my relationship
with... thanks, Chuck.
Well, yeah, my relationship...
You're like, oh, God.
My relationship with those guys was never the same after that, because it was like right. they blamed me. And I'm like, okay, look, I told you...
Yeah, Kelly there with the Holocaust in there.
I've got to figure something out here. Chuck, was the next show by any chance that one with you and Carmine and Jim Fetzer? That it was live that awesome. One night. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, no, that was on a JFK anniversary in, I think, 2015, where it was like... I had Danny Romero. I said, I want to do a four-hour thing on the Kennedy assassination, right? And Danny's like, well, I've got two great people for you to have on, Jim Fetzer and John Hankey. And I was like,
oh, Hankey.
All right. Look, I know John Hankey, and I've been back and forth with him for many years about yeah. a lot of stuff, and I'll talk to him, sure. You sure you want me to bring Fetzer on? Because Danny, who was my producer at the time, I don't know if you guys know about this, but the whole fake suicide thing, where the, yeah. the one 9/11 filmmaker faked blowing his brains out on Jim Fetzer's show.
I heard that live.
Yeah, yep. Well, Danny was producing that show, too, and I'm like, you sure you want me to talk to Jim Fetzer? And he's like, yeah. I said, okay. And so me and Carmine were going to co-host the whole thing, and Fetzer comes on and starts screaming at us. We got our heads up our asses and all other stuff. Total mess. I think it's still up on YouTube somewhere.
But, your heads
you know, and that was like...
Any particular reason why you had your head up such orifice?
Oh, because he started going into his spiel about JFK, and immediately he was throwing in a whole bunch of nonsensical things.
Oh, he was being very specific. I mean, right off the bat, we had a gunman named Tom Malone.
I've never heard Jimmy James like this. This is great.
Well, Jimmy, did you hear that show with me and Fetzer that night? Or he must have. He's cracking up. It is such a counter. See, and then the next hour I have Hanky on, and I'm like, John, you know, some of the stuff you're talking about is kind of not right. And he's like, okay, explain it to me. And I did, and we had like a little disagreement on air, but it was all like, you know, civil. And decent. Yeah. Okay. And then we had two more hours with the show, and it was still, you know, it was all good, except that first hour where Hetzer's, you guys have your heads up your ass. Blah, 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 blah. He's just screaming at us. And just like the funniest part to me is Carmine going, sir, 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 over and over again. Fetzer's just ranting and raving, and Carmine's just, sir. Sir, like, I don't know how many times he said it, but it just seemed like 10 times I had to turn my mic off and laugh because I was just like, wow. So this guy knows that he's just absolutely coming off as unhinged, and he's still doing it anyway. And he was so mad. He's like, "You guys wanted to talk about this seriously, and then you got your heads up your ass." And okay.
Wow.
It was a rough.
I just think I actually bought that book, The Great Zapruder Film Hoax.
Yeah, wow. not one of his, but I'll tell you what, I would still suggest parts of a couple of the books that he put out. Murder in Dealey Plaza and Assassination Science, there's a couple of good pieces in there.
But it's hard to tell now because he's got this whack factor now, and so it's hard to decipher.
I know. And the funniest thing is when we covered him going to the Sandy Hook trial, which, I had somebody in the courtroom.
Did you really?
Yeah, Ace came on and reported to us about what was going on in the courtroom. Yeah, and it was just too funny. He's showing up with stuff he printed out off of the internet going, "I have this for proof." And they're like, "That's a printout from the internet. That's not proof. That's not evidence." You know?
Oh, my God.
And then he totally violated, like, give him directions, like, "We'll let you have this video so you can view it, but you're not allowed to share it with anybody." And then the guy shared it. No, he shared it with other people, claiming that he needed analysis, and they're like, "You were instructed not to share this." You know, it was like, he couldn't follow instructions, he knew nothing about procedure, he's trying to represent himself, and it's like, no kidding he lost, regardless of the fact that, you know, I think he should have lost anyway, but the fact is that he made such a disaster out of his own hearing, he gave himself no chance to even make a proper argument.
And yet he still thrives. Let's think about that for a second, folks.
Yeah, but see, I also love B-Pete's blog post, which, by the way, B-Pete, I know we haven't heard from you in a minute, but tell people again about your wonderful blog post regarding the top 10 things that Jim Fetzer could do to try and earn enough money to pay off his lawsuit or something like that. What's it called?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Like 50, I think it was 50 things he could do. Let me see if I can find
50?
It.
Wow, see. I thought it was only 10. Jeez.
It was actually more than 10, because I really had a lot of crap on him.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, take a look at that, BP, because I'd love for you to talk about that real quick. We're almost out of time, by the way. The age of transitions will be coming up. Go ahead.
He's got like $1.1 million that he owes Posner. Yeah, it was top 10 things. Let's see. Top 10 things Fetzer can do to raise $1 million. And we had, of course, we had his dim bulb award that I gave him years back. You know, we listed that. And it said, take his magic act of Vegas where he pulls ridiculous statements out of his ass. Number 9, combined efforts with staff, you know, Ralph Sink, to convert their unsold books to toilet paper. 8, contract a city to inflate balloons at 10 cents a blow. 7, hook up with Judith and then abscond with her various medical fundraiser accounts. 6, get Larry Rivera to morph a $1 bill into a $1 million bill. 5, sell tickets in Israel to watch Don Fox shove his "The Jews Did It" bell up his ass. 4, open the dunking booth at Judith's next conference. 3, become Depend's adult incontinent products next spokesman. 2, convince Kraft Heinz to let him start his own version of Planner's Mixed Nuts. And number 1, sue the University of Minnesota Duluth for granting him the title of McKnight Professor of Philosophy Emeritus and giving him the false sense of intelligence that got him into his dilemma.
That's awesome. That's great.
Right.
He's still raising hell about his appeal being denied. He thinks this is a freedom of speech thing, not a you slandered somebody, so pay the damn money.
Yeah. There's a video that's great of him arguing and basically fighting with Hanky too. That's on BitChute. It's cold.
Well, that's the other thing is the guy winds up fighting with everybody. Yeah.
I think Posner's going to go after and put a lien on his house at least to have some record of the judgment.
So there you have it. And really quickly, it was a filmmaker named Ace Baker who made some sort of 9/11 documentary that faked his suicide because somebody asked about it in the chat room. And it was live on air with Jim Fetzer's show. And according to the producer and what I heard from Fetzer, they legitimately believe the guy had just killed himself with a gun on air.
I heard it.
And so, you know, look, I'm not saying that that's Fetzer's fault, but you know, if this is what you're attracting.
Right, exactly.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway, the Ocelli effect is done. It's been an interesting Friday. I got to say, I ran up against time and started running my mouth here toward the end because my fever broke for a second. But I want to thank Chris for calling in. I want to thank Glenn Vikeland for joining us earlier. I want to thank Jimmy James, the legend himself, for joining us. And also, Spent Kent, who went through a lot of the show with us. Anyways, and I want to thank all of you for listening. So that's that. I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. And on the live stream, the Age of Transitions is up next. Stick around.